Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to watch this movie.
Neil Jones.
Shut the fuck.
98.
Ah!
It's ours.
Hey yo, regardless of rain or snow, sleet or hail, I kick street tales, choking niggas like I'm Freewell, Golden State, holding your fate in the palm of my hand, blow you away like it's part of the plan, I gotta call it like I see it, talking like I be it, walking my walk, thugged out, orthopedic, cause I'm soon to be up, give me room, watch me heat up, niggas try to stick me like Abdul-Rahima, follow the leader, make me go extra hard, yo Nori, should I hold back or show the repertoire, quit at 16 or throwing extra balls just for the non-believers, I show them why it's so hard to reach us. I get pussy with my father's features, puff heavily, see me at 6'1", weigh a buck 70, catch me in spots y'all niggas never be, packed in, like Green Bay, Harlem Week to Queens Day, performing acapella, no DJ, 98 live, no replay, make it seem easy, so tell a friend that it's them again, Noriega, wild primitive.
Champagne on the rocks, pouring the Fort Knox Lazarus, shark salad with carrots, pork chops and applesauce, twin connection, disrespect and watch your body cage and pump the shoddy gate. And hit the shorty whitey potty training. I ain't playing, I'm truly the worst. To be the first to get his whole body fully reversed. Uzi, your hurts leave you double dead. I'm a bubble head. I never listen to nothing my mother said. And yo, I hold niggas ransom for money like Johnny Handsome. I son of niggas so long, I think I got a grandson. My passion is money, a stash and a honey that won't ask no questions. But don't blast anybody, that's my kind of girl. Kind of world I wanna live in, not a cell or a prison or in hell. So I'm getting just a little ghetto where my niggas control the middle. And know the riddles of life for others, no one be little.
Rich places, sick places. See my story, 6,666 pages. Wages, I wrote 6 aces. And at the same dice game, I caught 6 cases. All over big faces. Now tip laces, ready to dig faces. But the bing, it ain't a bit spacious. Niggas building up their rib cages. Cats like the rip places, bloody lip faces. Kim is a big racist. But I stand for the big places. But the world know your girl though. I fuck her off a furlough. She'll be up, put me up. All your sales could be luck. Only question for these ducks is, baby girl, could we fuck? You the type that need a wife. LUX told y'all the key to life. Asshole, y'all don't play around. I lay it down, fuck around, I spray around. Flick a biscuit, nigga risk it. My ass, yo, kick it.
Ain't no nigga in the world you know thorough than this. Bust off and sit the hot barrel dead on your lips like 2/3 of a brick. Panero and Kiss, the crystal white fluffy parts that I come back with. See, the plan is to stash y'all, cash y'all. The weed so strong, they gotta put it in glass jars. Niggas try to smoke me out, then smoke me out. Cause the rims on my new joint be poking out. I'm about to have no feelings, shit is deep. Do they dance with the devil when they sleep? I wake up gripping the air, wishing to hear shit that they kick in your ear when your soul drifts in the air. My gift is half rotten when I spit it for dead. That shit is dropped down my eye, I'm inside to cry. And I ain't never seen a nigga that's too live to die. They say you get what you ask for, get it cause you ask for it. A nigga ain't a thief, then he better have the cash for it. And we gon' be around till your body rot. And if the feds brung us in, we get the same time Gotti got. Nigga,
Hey yo, it's two ways, into the hood, one plane. Y'all been smoking chronic like straight to the brain. Yo, let's get loose, Hennessy straight, with tomato juice, Queen Stallion. My guns from the Italian. Now y'all niggas recognize medallions. I play the best hood, OT with Tim Westwood. Used to be on Section 8, now my section is good. Dogged out, nigga, he wants to be good. And I don't give a fuck what, y'all say my shit. And I don't give a fuck what, you can save your shit. Y'all niggas like extra skin on my dick. Listen to Bob Marley, that funny niggas like Steve Harvey. Fighting live with a weak army. I play the nice guy true, and he can smoke with you. But the realness, I ain't got no love for you. That's why I never do a song with you. Not even if your baby mom's fucking crew. And promise to give us head when you swallow it too. I still say no, no is no, no can do. A nigga drinking Haterade, drinking my flow.
Yo,
what'd it do?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Skybox. This is your boy Chills.
Y'all know who I be. I be DC Super Chef. That's who I be. What's happening?
What's going on, champ? Oh man. Let's get this thing popping.
We can get this thing popping, you know, first and foremost. Gotta send out congratulations to your family, Chills. You had a little sister that graduated today, so congratulations to you.
Yeah, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. I felt like a proud dad watching his oldest child, his firstborn, graduate today. Like, it was just amazing. I mean, I was so happy that I damn near teared up when I was writing her her graduation card.
Wow.
It was a great ceremony, though.
Also, I bet, man. I bet. And also, you know, I want to send out congratulations, personal congratulations to a good friend of mine, Chris Butler. He was the man who was behind the Baltimore Elite Wrestling Alliance who brought me in to the position I'm in now. He and his fiance gave birth to a beautiful bouncing baby girl, Victoria Rose Butler, today. 7 pounds, 8 ounces, a beautiful baby girl. So congratulations to Chris and Alexis. Beautiful, beautiful baby girl. I wish them all the best in that one. So congratulations to them. Let's go ahead and get into it. I just want to get those out the way real quick. Let's get into the quick three, shall we?
Yep.
First story, quick three, is a very sad 3-year-old New Orleans Pelicans guard Bryce DeJean Jones was shot and killed Saturday in Dallas, Texas. That according to a report from the Ames Tribune that came from the Dallas County Coroner's Office. What happened was that as DeJean Jones was visiting his girlfriend in Dallas for his daughter's first birthday, and that he had an argument with his girlfriend, and that when he that after the argument he left out and took a walk, but he went to the wrong apartment and started knocking and banging on the door because it was locked, and the homeowner had a weapon and shot Jones, DeJean Jones, once in the stomach, and unfortunately he bled out and he died from his injuries at a local hospital. Now, DeJean Jones, born in Los Angeles, attended USC initially to play basketball before he ended up transferring to UNLV for 2 seasons. And then for his final season before coming to the NBA, played for the Cyclones of Iowa State. In 117 collegiate games, he scored 1,266 points and 471 rebounds. He had signed a 3-year contract with the Pelicans in February and appeared in only 14 games for the team, starting in 11 of those, where he had 79 points, 48 rebounds, 15 assists, 10 steals. He missed the rest of this past season due to surgery on his wrist. In August of last year, he signed a minimum salary contract with the Pelicans, only to be waived in October, then signed 2 10-day contracts to help the depleted roster back last year. So a very solemn rest in peace to a young man who is gone on a case of mistaken identity, if you want to call it that. Rest in peace to him.
Man, that's sad, man. That really is sad.
Staying in Texas, college football, Baylor's been under so much fire to sexual assault scandal that the university finally acted and made the following decision. They have demoted President Kenneth Starr, who many people know, pursued perjury charges and tried to impeach a sitting U.S. president in a White House scandal. His job as president is gone. He will now only be known as a chancellor and law professor as of yesterday, May 31st.
Wow.
Baylor also fired its head coach, Art Briles, and athletic director Ian McCall was placed on probation. This is all after an external investigation found that the actions of not only the football staff, but the athletics department as well, quote, in some instances, pose a risk to campus security and the integrity of the university. Now, the scandal has said that some football players did commit some sexual assaults, and the staff basically looked And the review, which was done by Philadelphia-based law firm Temple Hamilton, found that Understar school administrators discourage students from reporting or participating in student conduct reviews of sexual assault complaints and even contributed to or accommodated a hostile environment against the alleged victims. So because of that, Art Briles, who many people thought was going to replace Mike Shanahan as head coach to help RG3, is now out of a job. Kenneth Starr has been stripped of his power as president and will remain on just as a chancellor and law school professor. And the athletic director is now currently on probation. And I'm sure that the NCAA may or may not have something to say about this. And that's supposed to be a Christian school, by the way. I'm just saying. That's supposed to be a Christian school. Oh, man. The final story has to do with a veteran outfielder whose career may be coming to an end, but it's not because of injury or because he was let go by the team. It is because he has been hit with his second strike with performance-enhancing drugs. Cleveland Indians outfielder Marlon Byrd was hit with a 100-game suspension for a second strike on the performance-enhancing substance policy. He already had a previous strike where he was suspended 50 games a couple of years ago, but now he received another one today after a positive for Impact. A growth hormone releasing peptide. Bird's lawyer, statement that the positive test came because of a change of supplement, but Bird did not appeal because he is responsible for the supplements he takes. Now, the second violation of the Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program comes with this 162-game suspension after. In 2014, MLB increased the penalty for second offense to a full season from 100 games. Back in 2012, after he was released by Boston, he served a 50-game suspension for testing positive for tamoxifen, which is a medication used by bodybuilders for all breast cancer in women and men. If he were to receive a third suspension, he would be given a lifetime ban. The only person so far to receive the lifetime ban on a third strike was New York Mets pitcher Henry Meja, who became the first player to receive that suspension back in February. Bird, Meja, and New York Yankees star Alex Rodriguez are the only players to receive full-season suspension. But the reason why we say that his career could be over is because Bird's 38. And he already signed a one-year, $1 million contract with a free agent to be in March with Cleveland. And they did that to get outfield depth because both their left fielder, Michael Brantley, and right fielder, Lonnie Chesenhall, were both recovering from injuries. Prior to his suspension, he was batting .270 with 5 homers and 19 RBIs in 24 games, mostly against left-handed hitters. And Monday night, which was his second to last appearance of the season, he went 4-for-4 with a home run against Texas, but then against the same team the next night, struck out 3 times, lost. He spent the last season with both Cincinnati and San Francisco. And in order to replace Bernal Acosta, now gone for the rest of the season and most of next season, the Indians did recall outfielder Alan Macken from AAA Columbus. Or three, right here on the Skybox.
Wow, man. That was a quick three.
Drugs
are
bad.
So, you ready to move on to WWE?
Oh, yeah, let's move on to the WWE. The WWE is on the road to Money in the Bank coming up in a couple of weeks on the WWE Network and selected pay-per-view outlets. The Money in the Bank is highlighted by 2 matches. The actual Money in the Bank match itself, which features 6 already revealed superstars and 1 mystery superstar. And the main event will be the return of CrossFit Jesus, Seth Rollins, challenging Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So I can't wait for this. I really can't wait for this.
I actually got a question for you. Who do you think the mystery guy is for the Money in the Bank? The last guy.
My gut says Bray Wyatt.
That's interesting.
And the reason why
that's interesting because my gut says the same.
Yeah. Now I would have said Cena, but based on what happened this past Monday, I don't think Cena's going to be involved in that Money in the Bank. He's going to be involved with AJ Styles. Can we talk about that though?
Honestly, part of me saw that coming. Like, I mean, you know, last week, AJ told the club to go their own way. And this week, he had a segment with Cena, then the club comes out, and Cena gets his ass beat by the club. With all that back and forth with that, though, I'm still mad that we didn't get a Styles Clash. Can we talk about that?
I don't know if Cena ready to take that Styles Clash yet, though. I'm just saying. I don't think he bought that like that.
Honestly, I think, it was great. Because, right now, AJ could use the heel turn. I mean, the fans will still be behind him, regardless of the fact. Because, he still has that loyal fan base that dates back all the way from Ring of Honor and TNA. This match will be interesting, though, because you got the face of TNA, the guy who pretty much helped build TNA to where it was when it was successful, and you got the guy who's been the face of the WWE for the past 10-plus years.
I kind of read about TNA, though. I do. I got to read about that.
Oh, but of course. I've been pissed about TNA since they brought in Bischoff and Hogan.
Did you see that video of that promo with Matt and Jeff Hardy from the recent episode that happened this past Tuesday night?
No.
Okay. I'm gonna put it in the Skybox group later on after the show's over with, so you can take a look at this bullshit. But basically, the promo is Matt and Jeff Hardy. Matt looks like in the memes all over the place, he looks like a homeless Seth Rollins. His hair's all fucked up. He's wearing his big-ass jacket. Money Matt. Big Money Matt. Okay? And he's talking to his brother, and he sounds weird as shit, calling him Brother Nero. Right? And then he says, we're going to end it where it started. And they're inside a ring, inside of some kind of garage or whatever they are, right? And next thing I know, Jeff comes walking in. He's about to get in the ring. Matt gets out. They sign some kind of contract to fight at Slammiversary. Jeff's like, why don't we start doing this right now? Do this right now. Matt gets in the ring. Says we can do this right now. Jeff gets up, is on the apron. Matt's wife comes in. She's got the baby and a little carrier. Right? But she throws it at Jeff, but it turns out to be a doll. She's like, what the hell? What is wrong with you guys? Matt hits him upside the head with some kind of glass, and it hits him with a side effect to a table that breaks off the top. It's not one of those tables that breaks down the middle. And
wow.
It was the stupidest fucking promo I've ever seen in my life. TNA. You are sitting up here doing these stupid ass promos like this. You're dead. Like, who in your production team approved this shit? Who gave the okay for this shit? Like, for real.
TNA has nothing left. Anytime we see in all your biggest names leave for WWE, you have nothing left. I mean, it's like they're done. They don't have any ideas. They can't put anything fresh together. They don't have anything to do. they're pretty much trying to throw anything out there and praying that it works. And that's not working. Right now, TNA is so far behind that they can't even go back to what made them great. It's like they're just done. I mean, I can't explain it. I mean, I don't remember anything as bad. It's not, I mean, I can't even say WCW in this last year was this bad. TNA is just fucking pitiful.
It's horrible, dude. And I haven't even watched an episode, but after seeing that bullshit-ass promo, look, this is how bad it is. I wouldn't watch it on a single Tuesday night. Last night, I slept from like 6:30 last night until 7:30 this morning because I was really tired. But even if I was awake, I would not turn on Pop TV to watch Impact Wrestling at all. That just ain't going to happen, period.
It's not worth it. Right now... TNA is at the point where they just don't have it no more. They can't come back and do anything. They don't have what they had. I mean, instead of trying to...
Wait till July 19th.
Hmm?
And wait till July 19th when SmackDown goes live on Tuesday night. They do the brand extension.
They're fucked.
They're really fucked. They're done.
The only thing they can really do now is really put on their new talent. Just stick to wrestling. That's it. Stick to wrestling. That's all TNA can really do at this point. They need to find somebody that's willing to invest in them to help them financially. Next, they need a real wrestling mind. They need someone that really knows the business to help them get from this grave that they're in. They don't have that. Now, TNA does have young talent around. They need to focus on them. Fuck Matt and Jeff Hardy. No disrespect, but I mean, at this point, they're not enough to put TNA to where it needs to be. TNA needs to find everything right now. They need to push their younger talent.
True.
They need to stick to wrestling instead of bullshit storyline. Just stick to wrestling.
Right.
Just stick to wrestling. No dramatic storyline.
Most of TNA's roster. You also got to think about it. Their roster is pretty depleted, too. I mean, most of them are in NXT. Speaking of NXT, this time next week, NXT will be hosting another NXT TakeOver special entitled NXT TakeOver The End from Full Sail in Orlando, Florida, which will be highlighted by the main event, which is for the final time. Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe in a steel cage match for the NXT Championship. Asuka versus Nia Jax for the Women's Championship. American Alpha versus The Revival for the NXT Tag Team Championship. And Shinsuke Nakamura facing off against Austin Aries in a one-on-one matchup. Now, that's what I'm looking for. Austin Aries and Shinsuke Nakamura, the King of Strong Style versus the greatest man to ever live. Are you kidding me? If you're not excited for that one, I can't call you. Dude,
you're not a wrestling fan if you're not excited.
Dude, I'm telling you,
you're not a wrestling fan if you're not excited. But honestly,
dude,
though,
be a fun match to watch. I can't wait.
I mean, honestly, though, TNA needs to push whatever talent that they have, get beyond the Hardys, because I mean, they can't do it.
I think Matt Hardy's on the drugs that his brother used to be on. But okay, all right, we're gonna move on. But I want to know, who do you think wins the Money in the Bank ladder match at the Money in the Bank pay per view? Who becomes Mr. Money in the Bank?
Honestly, I'm stuck between three people. If the mystery person is Bray Wyatt, he is one of my picks to win it. For the simple fact that, one, he came in as a mystery opponent, and outside of the 10, they're going to give it to him based on that. Or if he doesn't win, I'm going to say between Kevin Owens and or Dean Ambrose. Because honestly, those guys are pretty much next to line for that big push. Everybody knows that Ambrose, they've been playing around with Ambrose with the world title. Kevin Owens, he had a great IC title run. He had two. They saw what he could do with the mid-card title. Now he's in that upper mid-card trying to get to that main event status. He's pretty much ready for that. Then you have Bray, the guy who possibly should have been champion by now, but I think they are going to finally put him there because it's that time. I mean, it should be interesting, though. Between those three picks, that's who I really can honestly see winning Money in the Bank.
I'm leaning towards KO because, yeah, you know, Seth Rollins is back and he will be a great top, you know, heel champion. But at the same time, I think KO has really proven that he can hang in the main event slot or hang with main eventers. I mean, you saw the program he had with John Cena just coming up from NXT and still be an NXT champion. I mean, he knows how to hang with main eventers, and he's very skilled. So my top prediction would be KO. Now, if it isn't KO, then my other pick is just like you said, Dean Ambrose, because they have been trying to tout him to be the next top babyface for the longest time. And right now, apparently, you know, they're trying to have Booty Hair be the top babyface. That shit ain't working. But Dean Ambrose will be the next to be the top babyface. And it would be interesting to see him be there. If I had to make a third prediction, if those two aren't picked, then part of me wants to say Cesaro. But my only concern is, how is his shoulder holding up? Will he be able to stay healthy? Can he be in that? I mean, Cesaro's over. Fuck, dude. Like, he is so over. But can he stay healthy and be in that main event spot?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big question. But here's where I want to go with it. I think they should, right now, while Cesaro is still somewhat over, let him have an IC title run.
Yeah, I agree.
Let him have an IC title run first, then push him towards that main event world title picture. Let him have that title first. I mean, it's been a while since he's had gold around his waist. Singles gold at that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. That needs to happen.
Honestly, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, I know that Roman will probably win the first matchup because they're probably going to keep the belt on him until SummerSlam, which I hope they don't. Because, honestly, nobody wants Roman as the champion no more. This is possibly one of the worst reigns I ever witnessed. I mean, I've never witnessed the world champion this fucking irrelevant. This fucking sorry. Come on now. Any time where every other champion is more over than your world champion, there's a problem. I mean, the New Day, they're over completely. The sad part is, by the time they break up, all of them should be main event level. For the simple fact that they were so great. They're your hottest gimmick in your company. I mean, even Rusev is more over as United States champion. Miz is over as the IC champion. is more over as IC champion. I mean, it's like all your other champions have a bigger pop than your world champion. That's not good for business.
That's not a good look.
At all.
And then you look, I mean, you probably just mentioned it, the New Day, you know, they're about 40 some odd days away from having the longest reign of tag team champions in history. I mean, the fact that your tag champions are more over than your world champion kind of like, really? What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it's rough, dude. It is rough. But hey, that's WWE for you, man. I mean, what can I say? At this point, like, right now, Vince is really hoping and praying that somehow his experiment with Roman will actually be successful, but it won't. It's not. Nobody's believing a hype on Roman. I mean, your fans don't like this nigga. It don't matter what he does. Your fans do not like this nigga. Like, I mean, I understand they don't care what we want, but shit. This nigga is something that we don't want. God, like, every time this nigga music hits, I'm like, man, fuck. I'm either take a smoke break, a shit break, or fuck it. So I need to do something that I don't have to listen to this nigga talk. Because that nigga promos are dry as fuck. His entrance is dry as shit.
I agree. But yo, we got to move on to the NBA. Didn't I say on this show just last week that Golden State was going to win three straight and go on to the finals? I'm just asking.
Yep. You saw that. I mean, honestly, originally I started off saying the series was going to go to seven. Last week's episode, I ain't gonna lie, I did get discouraged because I mean, it wasn't really the 3-1; it was the fact that OKC bigs were really the difference maker for them getting that far. Then after last week's show, I was like, hold up, Golden State still can win this damn series, or at least force the game seven. So it's funny. I was at dinner this past Saturday. One of my mom's boyfriend Pete, he was talking all this stuff about OKC, this, that, and the other, where he actually betted on game six. Well, I was like, dude, if OKC does not win game six, game seven, they're done. He was like, nah. I got money riding on this. OKC got them. They closing out tonight. Then he was like, even if they don't close out tonight, they got one more chance. I'm like, dude, if they don't win game six, it's over. If they can't beat Golden State on their home court, it's over. If they let Golden State steal the momentum from them, it's over. So Sunday morning came, and I got a call, but my mom's boyfriend came. He's like, damn, you was right. But of course I was. I called it. But I think we do got somebody on the line, though.
We do got somebody on the line right now to speak on this subject as well. So let's welcome in James. James, you there?
I'm here.
The man,
hey, what's
James.
Going on, man? What are you?
What's good?
What's good, y'all? I'm gonna keep it simple. I'm gonna take y'all on a little history lesson about revenge. Remember the Spurs lost. Remember the Spurs lost in 2013 because of Ray Allen's three in the corner.
Yep.
Y'all remember that? And then they won Game Seven. And the Spurs came back revenge hungry, angry, pissed, and then destroyed them
the following season.
Following season, yeah.
Golden State beat LeBron. 15 points or more.
Yeah, Golden State beat LeBron without his best players. They got a free ride to the finals and they won. LeBron forgot that. Revenge is the ultimate equalizer. LeBron and the Cavs are going to win in six. They're pissed. They're healthy. And revenge is the ultimate equalizer. The Spurs did it. I think the Cavs are going to win.
All right. Here's where I'm not sold on this. Honestly, even with a healthy Cavalier team, I still don't think they can match Golden State. Here's why. No one on Cleveland's team is really going to match Golden State. I mean, Golden State is deeper than Cleveland. I mean, yes, Cleveland got Kyrie. They got Kevin Love. Can they be consistent in the finals? We have yet to see that. You still got Steph Curry on Golden State. You have Klay Thompson. You have Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. Then you have that bench. We have the other players like Harrison Barnes and Livingston. Golden State is just deep.
Yeah.
I don't think Cleveland can match that. I mean, it's revenge, but I mean, think about it. Bron in the finals. I mean, no. For Cleveland to win, LeBron would have to take over that series.
And I think he will.
Listen,
I don't think he will.
Listen,
I think he will because he has.
Golden State was down. Golden State was down 3-1. They were on the brink of elimination. I'm pretty sure a lot of people counted them out, figured, oh, it was done. It was over. And like I said, I said on this very program last week, I said, Golden State's going to win three straight, and they're going to make the finals. I said that. And then what did they do? They went out Thursday night, won the game, in Golden State. Boom. Then they went on a road Saturday night, and I watched that game. Klay Thompson went absolutely bananas from beyond the arc. I mean, bananas. It was like that dude couldn't miss. And you have to remember, he won the three-point contest at the All-Star game this year over his teammates. So you already know he's a shooter. And OKC let that Bama shoot the lights out of their own gym. Boom. They brought it back to Golden State, and Monday night wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. So now you got a team who's riding a three-game winning streak, riding all the momentum, on fire with shooters, going up against a Cavs team that's been sitting around for about a week and a half, who only lost two games out of a very, very weak conference. I don't see Cleveland winning this series. Now, I see them winning a couple of games. I see them winning two games. I think the series goes six. But I think Golden State will repeat as NBA champions when it's all said and done. I think that Cleveland will probably get their two at home, but I think that their first two at home, but I think that that's going to be the only two they get. And if Golden State happens to win one of those two at home on the road in Cleveland, then it's going to only be five games. But I see Cleveland not winning this series at all.
It's just eerily similar to the Spurs and Heat because everybody thought the Heat was going to repeat too.
Honestly,
same team,
I knew.
LeBron ain't having it this year, man. Telling you, LeBron ain't having it this year.
People have said that before, and it still has happened. LeBron gives up rings. He doesn't get rings. He gives them up.
Yeah, but he just lost.
I mean, it is a similar It is a similar situation as Spurs and Heat, but here's the thing, though. You can't compare the Cleveland Cavaliers talent-wise to that Spurs team. You just can't do it because they're completely on different levels. You know what I'm saying? So it's an eerily similar situation, but due to the skill level between the two teams, it's going to be a different result. It's not going to be a revenge chance for the Cleveland in a series. It's going to be it's going to show why they won 70 games this season.
Plus, you have to look at the coaches too. I mean, you got the Spurs who are led by Greg Popovich. This man has been to the finals 6 times and only lost once. If you really thought that the Spurs was going to lose back to back years, you're sadly mistaken. Now you have Cleveland. Tyronn Lue, honestly, is he really coaching that team or is he just there letting LeBron coach? Honestly, that's been one of LeBron's biggest failures, him trying to coach the team that he plays for. He needs a coach that's going to actually coach.
But here's why Cleveland's going to win this series. LeBron willed them the 2 games last year with nobody. Kyrie's going to cook Steph Curry. I'm about to tell you that right now. If you don't believe me, watch. Tomorrow night, Kyrie Irving is going to go ham. Kevin Love's the equalizer. If J.R. Smith comes through with anything, they're going to win, I think.
Honestly, I still don't think they cannot match. They cannot match Golden State.
Cleveland ain't lacking in depth either. They come off the bench with some nice players.
They have nice players. But I mean, honestly, overall, I just got to give Golden State the edge.
Well, that's cool. I just feel revenge is the ultimate edge. Revenge is the ultimate edge. I get pissed.
But I mean, you can't say that, though, because I mean, how many losses have LeBron revenged?
Here's
the funny part, though. There's a Bama on the Golden State Warriors bench who probably don't even give a shit who wins because he's still guaranteed a ring though. That's something y'all gotta think about. That's funny shit.
Yeah, and it's a very job.
Like, what's that about? Yeah.
Yep.
He played 31 games with Cleveland this year. So that makes him eligible to get a ring from the Cleveland Cavs if they win, but he's on the Golden State Warriors team with me. If they win, he gets the ring. So either he probably don't even care who wins. Either way, he can win into the offseason and be like, I'm an NBA champion, dog. Just saying.
He parked that ring, They have every single time anyway. He's not a factor on that team.
Of course not. That's why he doesn't get any playing time.
Either way.
That's why you always see him on the bench.
Right.
He shouldn't even suit up for real.
But either way, That man's gonna have a ring. He's gonna panties drive because he got a ring. Okay. All right. Okay.
He got
I just don't think Cleveland can match. I don't think Cleveland can do it. I mean, they had their struggles against Toronto. Toronto slowed them down. They only lost 2 games in a week Eastern Conference. I don't think Cleveland can still be a Western Conference powerhouse. Golden State bigs can handle Cleveland because I mean, who's going to get out of Tristan Thompson?
He's going to lock somebody up.
Who's going to lock up Draymond? Draymond is going to move all over the court on them.
They don't have a Draymond mismatch. They don't have a mismatch for Draymond.
Clay Thompson going to cook though.
Exactly. Who's going to guard Clay Thompson?
You know he's shooting. You know he's going to cook. Everybody going to be focused on Steph, and Clay going to cook him. I'm telling you. You look how he cooked OKC Saturday night. He's going to cook, dog. I'm telling you.
Well, I'm saying Kyrie is going to go ham. Watch what I tell you. Kyrie going to go ham. That boy bad. And LeBron will help.
I mean, he's bad.
He's
going to
beat them boys this year. This year, LeBron going to do it. Because he almost did it last year, and he had nobody. He had them shook. They couldn't stop LeBron. Kevin Love was a shooter. Shannon Fry come off the bench, he can shoot threes too. Tristan Thompson plays defense. I'm telling you, J.R. Smith giving some points, some three, they good. That's the equalizer to me, J.R. Smith. He got to score. But at the end of the day, revenge is the ultimate equalizer in this series. They want Golden State, just like the Spurs won in Miami. They've been waiting for this.
All right.
We'll see. I'll say six.
We'll see.
I'm going out tomorrow. See that? I think it's six games this year. If LeBron loses this year, no excuses.
Game one does begin tomorrow night. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. Maybe next week. Maybe they.
I got a question for everyone though. Where will you be watching the game at?
I'm going to find me a bar somewhere.
I'll probably be at the house.
I don't know yet. It depends on how my schedule looks. So, you know, if I ain't doing nothing, then I'll probably either watch it in the house or watch it at a bar.
Yeah. We'll see in this series, though.
If I don't catch game one tomorrow night, game two's on Saturday night, I'll probably watch it at the tender box like I watched game six on last Saturday.
I'm in for LeBron this year.
Honestly, I just don't see it. Like, I mean, only way LeBron will win another ring is if he leaves Cleveland and go to a Western Conference team.
If they had played them last year, I'd agree. But Charlie, revenge is a different animal. It brings out the best in you.
I mean, it does, but I mean, it depends on that player too. Like everybody keeps saying, the revenge brings out the best, but like we never really seen Bron really show off when he's trying to get revenge. Everybody said, well, he got his revenge on who?
Like, he hadn't had a chance yet. He never had been to the finals against the same team twice, except the Spurs.
Well, but at the same time, it doesn't matter if you're going against the same team or another team. I mean, hell, they could have been going against OKC and still lose that series. The point is, you seeking revenge. You're trying to win. It doesn't matter who you're going against. It doesn't have to be the same team. You're trying to win a title. That's how you seek your revenge.
Right.
Hey, fellas,
like, you see that same team that beat you the year before in your face. Like, the Spurs dismantled that Heat team. The same team that just beat them. They destroyed them. Like, they didn't belong in the same court with them.
But think about it, though. Think about the structure of the Spurs, though. Does Cleveland have that same structure? Does Cleveland have that same head coach? Same type of head coach?
No.
Tim Duncan is one of the most competitive players in league history. I mean, he doesn't give you a lot of emotion, but he does give you heart. This is a man that loves to win, that's used to winning. His legacy is built off of winning. Tim Duncan has more 50-season wins than most NBA franchises. That says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, I can't compare Cleveland getting their revenge to the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs are a different type of animal. And the fact that the Spurs had to go through the Western Conference to get there. I mean, the Western Conference is the Wild Wild West.
Right.
The Western Conference Finals this past season was pretty much your NBA Finals, honestly. Because I don't think the NBA Finals will live up to the same height that the Western Conference Finals did. I'm sorry. That shit was like the Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel had this in the NBA, NBA had this in the Conference Finals.
I just can't see LeBron losing again.
I can.
Hey,
I mean, he's made a career out of it.
We do got to move on real quick. We do got to move on. Like I said, we'll see what happens. Like, all, you know, games aren't played on paper. They played on the court. And starting tomorrow night, we'll find out if Brock can get that ring or if Steph, the MVP of the league, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors can repeat. But, James, thank you for being on. And just stay on the line. We might come back to you because I got a question to ask Chills about something that happened today in the NFL. So, you know, definitely stay on the line, and we might get back to you if you got a thought on it.
I'm here.
I bet.
All right, let's get it popping.
So, the question I have for you, Chills, is quite simple. So Josh Dotson, who was our first-round draft pick, wide receiver out of TCU, injured his foot today during OTAs. Now, x-rays mm-hmm. were negative, and he's going to be given a week to rest it before he's back out there with training camp getting ready to kick off and off-season workouts and everything like that. Are you worried that this injury could expose him, could possibly show that he might be injury prone throughout his career?
Honestly, no, because I mean, honestly, no. I would say no, because he doesn't really have a bad history of injuries. He did get hurt in college, but I mean, who doesn't? There's been quite a few players whose career started off getting injured and were able to rebound. I mean, last year, look at Todd Gurley. He didn't play the first, what, four games? Because he was recovering from an injury. He came back and he kicked ass. Hello?
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I don't think this will be a factor of him being injury prone. Now, if he was consistently injured throughout his college career, then it would start putting little thoughts in my head that, okay, maybe this guy is injury prone. But at the same time, Scott is a very intelligent GM. If he was really injury prone, I don't think Scott would have took a chance on him. Matter of fact, I'm not going to say I don't think. Scott wouldn't have took a chance on him. He wouldn't have taken that chance on him.
I will say I'm also not concerned. I mean, it is OTAs, but at the same time, you know, they said it's not a serious injury, and that, you know, he won't miss any time in training camp, and it won't cause him to, you know, lose his chance at productivity and being a part of the roster and everything like that. Because I mean, they brought him in basically to, you know, groom him to be the number one receiver for the Skins and be that red zone threat because of his size and his ability to, you know, his leaping ability. But it does, you know, pose the question of what, you know, what really goes on with OTAs that, you know, someone can suffer an injury to a foot unless he, like, stepped wrong or, you know, it didn't, you know, the news report that I read didn't say how he hurt the foot. He just said that he hurt his foot. You know, so I'm concerned about, you know, what is going on with OTAs that that an injury like that can happen. I've seen in OTAs, you know, non-contact, non-pass, somebody get a non-contact injury. You know, it makes me wonder, like, what is really going on?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, maybe the shit was just too, I don't know. I can't explain it, but, yeah, I mean, right now I wouldn't be concerned because, I mean, again, his shit came back negative, so he should be okay.
And, I mean, Kirk Cousins has given the young man high praise so far throughout the offseason program, saying that he, you know, great. He's gotten a lot of praise from his teammates, a lot of praise from his quarterback, and I'm sure that, you know, Kirk Cousins can really benefit from him in this being contract
Hell
year
yeah.
for him. Playing
yeah.
on a franchise tender, he could definitely use a receiver like Josh Dotson to really help him get him a big contract. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, because he, with him in the game, especially in the red zone, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Jordan Reed. Because the defenses will have another big target to worry about with him. I mean, you'll have him, Jordan Reed, maybe Vernon Davis, and a lot of red zone sets. So, I mean, it should be interesting. I mean, honestly, I really can't wait. I can't wait for the season to start, and I can't wait for Madden to come out. Because I want to see how this shit going to look.
Right. Yeah, I can't wait for the season to start. Like I said, thanks to Wifey, I'm going to be at every home game this year. I'm going to be at every home game. I cannot wait. I'm going to be looking for a little mini grill so I can be out in the parking lot tailgating, smoking cigars.
Oh, my God. That's one experience I've got the chance to experience. I never tailgated. I've been risking,
right,
but I just never tailgated. I want that. I need that life.
Bruh, we're going to talk off air, bruh. Because remember, I got season tickets, so we're going to talk off air, bruh.
Okay. I've heard tailgating stories, but I need to experience. I need to experience it for myself.
Yeah, I've never really tailgated. I mean, I've tailgated in terms of a liquid diet, but not tailgate like with the whole food and everything like that. So, me and you go out to talk off air, man.
Okay, we can do
that.
You want
to talk off air. I mean, the Cowboys game and the Carolina game is already off limits. Wifey already claimed those, but there's still six other games we could hit. We could hit up. So we'll talk off air about that. We'll definitely talk off air. But real quick, because we got about 2 minutes left. We got about 2 minutes left in the show, and I just want to put it out there that, you know, this Saturday, everybody knows I'm part of the Baltimore Elite Wrestling Alliance. This Saturday, we got a mega event coming up. It's called Salvation. And in that event, the guys that I manage, Technically Great, will be facing off against Q-Stars and a partner of his choice named Eddie Brooks in a tag team matchup. So there's going to be a lot of great matches on there. Undisputed champions, championships will be defended, tag titles defended. The Intercontinental United States Championships will be defended in one match in a triple match, a la WrestleMania 2000, where one fall will be for one title, one fall will be for the other. It's this Saturday, starting at 12. If you are interested in checking out this event, just hit me up on Facebook or send me an email at dcspeopleshamp@gmail.com. I can hit you up with the address. It's a great time, and it's great to have a live crowd there. It's free, so you don't gotta pay nothing, and you get some great action and some great fun. So if you're interested, you know, come on out and, you know, have some fun, you know. Jules, you got any last
also
thoughts?
Actually, I do. This past Monday marked the very first time that DMV Unleashed dropped a live Facebook episode. I mean, it was history in the making. I mean, it was great, though. I mean, for the first time that people who are not a part of the DMVF page got to actually see the faces behind the voices that they hear on a radio. I mean, it was fun. I mean, it was Pat Legend, Black GOP, the CEO Poetry, The Park, Brandon Moore, and Mike Brown. I mean, shit was fun. I mean, it was a history-making moment for the DMVF. But that's all I have. It's been real, y'all. It looks like it's that time, and we got to say goodbye.
We do. But tune in tomorrow night. We got mic check tomorrow night. I will be back on there along with the Queen Poison and the Bishop Eddie Kane. We're going to be doing our music thing on there. So make sure you tune into that. Make sure you tune into His and Hers this Friday night. right here on this very channel. DMVF Unleashed is also back on here on Monday. And also on next Wednesday, we are back here. We're going to be talking about the first couple games of the NBA Finals. We're going to be looking back at the NHL Finals. And we're actually going to try to talk a little bit of golf, too, because the U.S. Open is getting ready to come up pretty soon. So, you know, I got to give a little preview of that, as well as Major League Baseball action as they're closing in on the All-Star break in a few weeks. So we're going to look at the halfway point of that, all that. So make sure you tune in right here to TSOTS. Make sure you join our group, TSOTS Presents Skybox. We talk sports and everything in there. So make sure you check that out. So we're done. We're going night-night, as I would tell my son.
Who's
already gone to sleep. But thank you for listening, y'all. We'll see y'all later.
All right, we out.